I want to turn to James chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 9 this week. I've enjoyed going through the book of James, and every time I prepare, the Lord just shows me more and gives me more. That's a blessing to my own life. And so we're going to go ahead and continue here. So it says here, but let the brother in humble circumstances boast in his position. When I started preparing for this and I looked at this, as soon as I got here, I just stopped and kind of froze and thought, okay, what exactly does that mean? So I thought, so a brother in humble circumstances or someone of limited natural means, is that what it's talking about? A brother in an outwardly humble position, which would give him nothing to boast about in the natural. So what high position does that brother in humble circumstances have to boast in? Turn with me, but keep your place there, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. One thing I've enjoyed about James is that every probably two to seven verses, there's a topic that is discussed. So he's able to compile a lot of different topics into one small book. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, but God was rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Messiah. By grace, you have been saved. By grace, we have been saved. By grace, I have been saved. So being dead in trespasses, it says here, it's the most spiritually humble position anyone can find themselves in. And because of that, we get to see what even someone who is dead spiritually or broke and destitute naturally can boast in. What can they boast in? Well, once they receive Messiah, we can boast in Messiah. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, and he raised us up with him. With who? With Yeshua. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But let the brother in humble circumstances boast in his high position in Messiah. Hallelujah. Boasting in Messiah will cause people around you to scratch their heads. How is this poor person so content and happy? Because they have become completed by receiving their Messiah, Yeshua, both Jew and Gentile alike. And what do they have to do to receive such happiness and such contentment? They just accepted Yeshua as Messiah, and because they love him, they follow his commands that his Father gave to everyone to follow. Very simple, but very profound. Let the brother in humble circumstances boast in his high position in Messiah. When you feel down and pressured by the natural circumstances around you, remember this. We are seated in heavenly places with who? With Messiah, with Yeshua, with our Messiah. We're not stuck here with no help and with no hope. Amen. We have ever-present help. We have ever-present hope. Say this out loud with me, or repeat this. We are seated in heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua. Hallelujah. Right there. Again, I'm going back to James 1:9. But let the brother in humble circumstances boast in his high position in Messiah. We have something we can boast about. We have Messiah. Hallelujah. But that's just the beginning of the good news. Why did he do all of this for us? Because of his great love for us. Because of his great love for his people. So when you see people who are always arguing and fussing and fighting, you know that they're not experiencing his love how they should be. You know that they're missing out on what Yeshua would die to bring them. So I'd encourage you, don't engage with them on that level. Have pity on them, because that's a terrible state to be in. When you see believers who are always arguing and fussing and fighting, you know they are not experiencing his love or how they should feel, what they should be experiencing. You know they're missing out on what Yeshua died to bring them. And I repeated that intentionally. Yaakov, James, once again, is reminding his people of these things. And it always brings up the question, why must we constantly be reminded? Because we forget. In the Torah portion, it talks about what we see. When we put our eyes on the problem and focus on the problem and take our eyes off of the solution, Messiah, we can become discouraged or disheartened or disillusioned. We put our eyes on him, your whole countenance is uplifted. Praise you, Father. Every Shabbat when we go home, I get home and I just thank the Lord. I say, wow, we made it through another Shabbat. That was a blessing. That was the Shabbat Shalom we talk about at the door. Hallelujah. It's the Shabbat that the world needs. It's the Shalom that the world needs, and they need Shabbat too. Praise you, Lord. Recently, we've come up, or I've come up with a theme or a motto in our congregation here. And that has been, we want to improve each week by what? Anybody remember? 1%. So that's kind of, grown legs and has become a thing here. So if we can imagine as a congregation improving 1%, or as individuals improving 1% each week, imagine where we'll be in a year or 6 months, both individually and as a congregation. If we regress, though, as a congregation by 1%, or as individuals by 1%, I don't think you want to imagine where we'll be in a year or 6 months. I don't. Each week we want to improve. And as a congregation, when it's time to praise and worship, we praise and we worship the Lord. I enjoyed the worship today. It was a blessing. We have our Torah processional. That was a blessing. We need to take advantage of the times we have together, the times we have with the Lord, and fully be engaged in them. Amen? They represent just a small window of time we get to praise Adonai together. Maybe about 1% of the time. Small amount of time. 1% improvement. So we have read about boasting in the Lord during our time here in this world. But the goodness of being alive with Messiah doesn't end here. Hallelujah. So why did he do this? It says in Ephesians, continuing chapter 2, verse 7, to show in the Olam Haba, the world to come, the measureless richness of his grace and kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. This lasts forever if we'll accept it and take hold of it. The grace, favor, love, provision, fullness, and completeness in every way lasts how long? Forever. Praise the Lord. So continuing back in James, we get to verse 10. It says, and the rich person in his humble position, because like the flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun arises with a scorching heat and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed, so also the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will wither away. Interesting. So we go from the poor, humble man who is able to rejoice and boast in Messiah, to now we have a rich person. So a brother in abundant circumstances, or someone of great natural means, a brother in an outwardly proud position, which would give him something to boast about, still boasts only in Messiah. So what humble position is the rich man in? It says in verse 11 that, or actually it says in the end of verse 10, he's humble because he recognizes, he sees that like the flower of the grass, he'll pass away too. You're not going to be around forever. I want to read through 11 again. For the sun arises with a scorching heat, but and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So also the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will wither away. So remember, James is writing to Jewish believers, men who have accepted Messiah, as is noted in James chapter 1:1, it says, Jacob, a slave of God and the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, to who? The 12 tribes in the diaspora. Shalom. So contrary to natural thought and what you might see on TV or hear, all refugees or people fleeing persecution are not poor and without means. There are many people who have to flee from somewhere who are wealthy or who at least have satisfactory means. And the same was true here. So in Messiah, both the rich and the poor are encouraged to do the same thing. Boast in Messiah. Hallelujah. What high position does the brother in humble circumstances have to boast in? The same thing, Messiah. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God was rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Messiah, and by grace we've been saved. So I want to bring this into the present. Again, Ephesians 2:4, but God is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loves us now. We were dead in our trespasses, but now he made us alive together with Messiah. By grace we are saved. We're no longer dead in our trespasses, but we are alive in Messiah. Hallelujah. And we got to remind ourselves that. You know, when we leave after Shabbat, we feel a lot better than we did when we got here. You know. Hallelujah. I feel so much better when Friday afternoon comes and we start winding down and we go into Shabbat mode. I mean, it's just the most peaceful spiritual thing of just shaking off all the week's stuff and just stopping. Hallelujah. Both trips to Israel last year and the year before, we were there in Shabbat, and both Erev Shabbat, we were in the Dead Sea. And, you know, when you're there and you're able to, it's different being there. It's different when everyone is doing something than it is when just a few, you know. It's different being, you know, 1,000 trout swimming downstream than it is being the 1 or 2 trout swimming upstream against the 1,000 trout coming down at you. And so when we were there, they put out just the Shabbat food. It was just incredible. We had ribs there. I've never seen a beef rib that size. I mean, it was like something you see in the Flintstones. It was huge. It was like, I mean, the bone was like that. It was a huge rib. And meat, I mean, it was like something they would have brought back Caleb and the spies when they went into the land. Yeah, they had the grapes and the other fruit, and they had these monstrous ribs. And they were delicious. And those were the best ribs I've ever tasted, never seen. I wish I would have taken a picture prior to everyone hitting the buffet line. But I'm saying all that to say it was Shabbat. And when we drove in from the Dead Sea to Jerusalem, they had streets blocked off. The kids were playing in the street. You see the men were going to and from, the ladies together. It was, if you needed, something at a convenience store or a store, you had to wait. Everything shut down. And it was like being in the Twilight Zone compared to being out here. Our view from our hotel, we're overlooking a street that was like, it was a street that entered a bunch of housing complexes that looked a whole lot like Ushpizin. And actually in that same area, and one of them may have been the ones we were looking at, they filmed Ushpizin. So if you can imagine that. And our view was over, for 3 or 4 nights, over an elementary school. And so every morning we see all the kids and the parents coming down the street to go to the school. And in the afternoon, all the kids would go, and there was a little playground below us. All the kids playing on simple things. But on Shabbat especially, there was a peace that surpassed all understanding. And a lot of the people we were looking at, they didn't even know Messiah. But yet, they were still keeping the commands of the Lord as they, to their ability, to the level of light that they were walking in. And so I'm just saying all that to say, Messiah is awesome. We can boast in him. We can boast in him, especially on Shabbat. Amen? Praise you, Father. So I want to get back to the rich man. And I want to listen to the words of the apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul. Turn me to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And while you're turning there, the Lord is the great equalizer between the rich and the poor. When we have Messiah between the Jews and the Gentiles. When we have Messiah, we have the blessing that comes along with him. And because of that, he loves us so much, he tells us, gives us instructions on how to handle any situation we might come across. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, Rabbi Shaul, he says, whatever things were gained to me, these I have considered as loss for the sake of the Messiah. Rich people experience gain, much increase, but are all called not to boast in that, not to trust in it, but rather boast in Adonai. Continuing in verse 8, it says, more than that, I consider all things to be loss in comparison to the surpassing value of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I consider them garbage in order that I might gain Messiah. So here's somebody who has something, who is a leader. And he says, all that stuff I had, it meant something at one point, but when I found Messiah, not only did it not mean anything anymore, but he said it was garbage. Look at this. We've seen both perspectives. Someone who has nothing and someone who has a lot. So what things did he lose? He lost the natural things that would hinder his walk with Messiah. And he said it was because of Messiah that he lost them, but he was okay with that. Hallelujah. What a wonderful attitude to have that only comes supernaturally. You see how the natural world responds to losing stuff. It's supernatural to keep on moving forward in Messiah. Amen. So I want to skip forward. Again, this is Rabbi Shaul talking, and we're going to end here. I want to skip down to verse 10. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Though you were concerned before, I lacked opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. Here's what I want to get to. For whatever circumstance I am in, I have learned to be content. I know what is to live with humble means, and I know what it is to live in prosperity. So he's had both. He's been in both situations as the people that James is talking about. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of contentment, both to be filled and to go hungry, to have abundance and to suffer need. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. No matter if my checking account says it or not. Hallelujah. No matter if people around say it or not. No matter if I've messed up so many times that people around me, they don't have confidence I'm ever going to get it right, I can still do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Our congregation here, we're doing all things through Messiah who is strengthening us and reaching people all over the world. Don't look at how small whatever it is that the Lord gives you to operate is. Because we can do all things through Messiah who strengthens us. Hallelujah. If I didn't believe that we could, we wouldn't be here right now. What you see here, what we're experiencing here, is done because we believe that we can all do all things through Messiah who strengthens us. But it's interesting. Not just who strengthens us for anything, but who strengthens and equips us to fulfill everything he's called us to do and provide a means for it to be done. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Father, we praise you, we worship you, we magnify you. We thank you for the word that has gone forth, Lord, and we thank you, Father, that you take this word and you deal with us each individually. You deal with us as a congregation, and to those who are watching via the internet, I thank you for watching. And Father, I thank you for touching them, for using this on their behalf too, Father. We thank you because we serve a God of the impossible. We serve a God who meets all of our needs. We serve a loyal God. Father, you are loyal to us. When you make a promise to your people, when you've made a promise to your people, the chosen people Israel, and you invited everyone else, all of the nations, to come and join in, you keep your promises, Father. You're not a man that you should lie. And we thank you for that, Father. We lift up Israel to you, and we thank you for keeping your promises to her, to the people there. We thank you, Lord, that they come to know you. And we rejoice, and we thank you. There's going to come a day when it'll be said, all Israel has been saved. So we just thank you as we move forward to the day when they say all, the day we talk about now, that all Israel shall be saved. We thank you that all the nations shall be saved too, and all the people you put in our path to witness to shall be saved. And everyone we have influence over, that they may come to know you, that you would use us, Father. And we lift up to you Israel, we lift up to you America, we lift up the leadership, the president, the prime minister, Father. And we just thank you, and we ask for your kingdom to come to pass, your will be done. Lord, we ask you to, according to your will and your scriptures, Father, to. Your word says, Father, you lift one up and you pull one down, Father. And we thank you. We pray for leadership, Father, in the countries that we just spoke about, that evil leadership will be removed, Father, would either improve or be removed. And we thank you for your hand of provision, Father. We thank you that we listen to you. And in the days of Daniel, he didn't listen to King Darius, Lord. He listened to you. So we thank you, Father, for your great presence, your great peace, and your great help. We thank you for using us, helping us, healing us, touching us, and encouraging us. And we thank you, Father, that we can boast in you and say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Messiah Yeshua. And we can boast in you and say, we are children. We are your sons and daughters because of the precious blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. So we thank you and praise you for that. In the mighty name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua, amen and amen. Shabbat Shalom to those of you who are watching online, and we will see you at the same time next week. Goodbye for now. Hallelujah. Praise you, praise you, praise you, oh God. There's so much peace in your look. You ever notice you don't want to go to a service and fall asleep? However, on the other hand, the peace of the Lord will put you to sleep. You know, it's like being rocked as a baby. So praise you, Lord. Let me know when we're all clear. We're clear. Hallelujah. So with that,